On today's show, a little crossover action with our buddy Josh Neighbors, host of the Locked On Big 12 podcast. It's a big SEC Big 12 hoops weekend with the SEC Big 12 Challenge. We're going to preview all of the matchups between the SEC and the Big 12 happening on Saturday. Locked On SEC starts right now.
You are Locked On SEC, your daily podcast on the Southeastern Conference. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Josh Neighbors here, Locked On Big 12 podcast. Joining me tonight, it is Chris Gordy of the Locked On SEC podcast. It is a crossover. We have the Big 12 SEC Challenge, but however you want to say it, it's coming up this weekend. Chris, I feel like we should be on a fight post where it's like you and I have our fists across each other. You know, it's just it's the Big 12 SEC Challenge. It's exciting because the Big 10 talks a bunch about how good of a basketball conference it is. They cannibalize each other and then end up, you know, two teams in the Sweet 16, whatever it is, one team, Sweet 16. These are the two best basketball conferences in the country. And also to add to kind of some of the mixture here, Oklahoma and Texas are leaving the Big 12 to go to the SEC, but all the major metrics still say that the Big 12 conference is probably still going to be the best basketball conference after it's all said and done. I want to say this first. I went to Missouri graduate. The SEC as a basketball conference has taken major strides in the last few years. And to me, it is one of the two best conferences in the league, in all of America. You agree?
Yeah, a big part of it is coaching. I mean, I remember being at SEC Media Days a few years ago and talking with one of the new heads of basketball on the SEC side, and I remember him saying, like, this conference is on the rise. Like, we're getting better because we're getting better coaches. And, man, you look at what Nate Oates has done at Alabama. You look at what Bruce Pearl is building at Auburn. Will Wade, feisty Will Wade at LSU. And then you got the guys who aren't doing so well this year. Kermit Davis is a really good coach. Tom Crane, historically, has been a really good coach. He's having a terrible year at Georgia. Quanzo Martin has been a guy who's won at multiple places, and he's having a really down year. So, yeah, it's becoming almost what football is in the SEC, where good coaches get eaten alive because the other teams are so good. But, man, I just think the recruiting as well has stepped up big time. I mean, we're talking about an Auburn team that has multiple guys that could go in the lottery this year. Tennessee, the past couple of years, has had, you know, one, two guys jumping in the lottery. So, I mean, it's across the board. The talent has gotten better. And you talked about it. I mean, these are the two best conferences, in my opinion. You look at the rankings right now. SEC's got four teams in the top 25. Big 12's got four teams in the top 25. But you could argue one or two, you know, teams from the SEC and Big 12 that aren't ranked should be ranked. So, yeah, I think this is going to be a really, really good matchup this week. I think some of the matchups are really good. Some are a little bit lopsided. It is what it is. But no, I think we're in for a heck of a day of SEC versus Big 12 basketball on Saturday.
And while the matchups are lopsided, there's still opportunities for a lot of teams, right? The opportunities for teams like Oklahoma, who has not been great in conference play, but we saw Auburn struggle against Missouri team. So hey, maybe it's an opportunity for an Oklahoma to get back on track. Florida, a bubble. The story of the SEC right now is, how many teams are, we don't know for sure, but a lot of prognosticators have them on the bubble. And so to me, that's kind of the story of this SEC Big 12 Challenge, is the number of bubble teams, and you could go both ways of this, that have opportunities to score big wins with a tough schedule coming up for a lot of them too.
Yeah, I think back to this weekend a year ago, and I think back to, you know, LSU had Texas Tech beat in the final minute, and they let it slip away, and Texas Tech somehow pulled out the win. And then from there, LSU, that was kind of their story of their schedule the rest of the way. It was like, man, they kept stubbing their toe, and it was like they couldn't get out of their own way. And look at what Texas Tech did, you know, throughout the postseason last year. And you could almost say maybe that was the game that gave them confidence, said, man, we can win any way possible. So, you know, not to put too much on this weekend, but this could be a weekend where, you know, a team that's kind of been middling, whether in the SEC or the Big 12, gets a big win, and it's that confidence builder for them moving forward.
Yep, let's get through all the matchups. First, quick word from our sponsors here to this show is brought to you by NetSuite from Oracle. Over 28,000 businesses have already switched to NetSuite for the new year. NetSuite is a new financing program available for those ready to upgrade at netsuite.com/lock. That's netsuite.com/LOCKED. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system to power your growth with visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, budgeting, and more. NetSuite is everything you need to grow all in one place. Once again, head to netsuite.com/locked for this special one-of-a-kind financing offer on the number one financial system for growing businesses. Once again, netsuite.com/locked. All right, so I have all the matchups right here. I put them all into writing. We've got them all. One game by itself in the 11 a.m. Central Time window, which that's what we're going to use for God's time zone right here. All right, so your LSU Tigers, number 19 in the country, go to TCU. This game is pretty compelling. I know people say, it's kind of a throwaway almost. It's pretty compelling because LSU has not had Darius Days, and they've not had former Missouri Tiger, it pains me to say that, Xavier Pinson for a while, have looked like a different team. TCU is coming off a loss to they had a jam-packed home arena, and Texas brought the thump to them. Two teams in pretty interesting spots here. LSU's sub 500 in SEC play. They need to win pretty badly, not for the conference stuff, but just kind of, hey, say we're not just about these two players, Days and Pinson. We can win without those guys.
Yeah, I think LSU did a good job. You could almost look at their schedule and say they've gotten through the toughest part of it. They still have a couple of tough games, but you know the game against A&M the other night, it was like, all right, this is a game where you're better than this team, you better beat them, and they were able to pull that one out, and it snapped their three-game losing streak. They should have beat Arkansas the weekend prior, but they let that one slip away in the final minutes. Their offense went absolutely cold. But outside of that, their other losses on the road at Auburn, on the road at Alabama, on the road to Tennessee, those aren't bad losses. Like, those are games that, man, you fought hard and you lost. So, yeah, for LSU, they've got to figure this thing out. And, man, they can't let this one slip away. They can't mess around and lose to a TCU team, you know, this weekend. Win this one and then take care of your business against the lesser teams in the SEC down the stretch, and they'll be all right. Tari Eason has probably been their best player so far this year. He can get to the basket whenever he wants, gets to the free throw line a ton. He's a good rebounder at 6'8". Eric Gaines, he's been coming on as late as well. He had 16 points against A&M the other night, steals a ton of balls. I think he's top 20, you know, 29th, 30th somewhere in steals in the country. So he's really good. And, you know, the big one is Xavier Pinson. Like you said, if they were able to get him back this weekend, and no word yet on if he's going to be back, but as soon as he gets back, man, that offense flows so much better with him in the game.
He's got a sick handle. He's got a pretty good step back. He's when he's in control, he's in control of everything that's happening in the game. I want to ask you about one more thing about LSU. Is this LSU team got the best shot to go deepest in the tournament? I remember the Naz Reid, Tremont Waters team felt like that was a team that was positioned to go as far as they wanted to, as far as it could push it. Is this team got a chance at full strength to be better than that team was and go further in the NCAA tournament than that team even could have?
Well, this is Will Wade's most talented team, and I say that knowing, you know, he had two pretty good studs on his team last year that, you know, they tried to go deep in the tournament. But, you know, Cam Thomas, look at what he's doing in the NBA. But, no, I think this is his most talented team, and, yeah, this is the team that's most poised. I mean, they've had Shaq's son sitting around for a while, Sharif O'Neal. He's finally starting to develop a role coming off the bench and able to make some shots. And you know, it was kind of a joke the other night. He hit a three in the game, and they joked. That's the first time they ever heard that in the history of Baton Rouge. O'Neal for three, because Shaq never made a three in his career. But no, I mean, he's been a nice, solid contributor. This is their most deepest and most talented team that they've had at LSU in the Will Wade era. So, yeah, I mean, look, just making the tournament this year isn't acceptable. I think Sweet 16 and further needs to be their goal this year.
Do you think LSU gets it done against TCU on Saturday?
I think so. I think this is a game that they look at and say, we've got to take care of business against this team. They've lost some close games to some really good teams. I think this is one that they look at and say, we have to have.
I think Jamie Dixon's crew, after being embarrassed, bounce back. So you and I are at odds the first time. I'm sure not the last time tonight. All right, next game. This is the first of the 1 o'clock Central Time games. Talk about Oklahoma goes to Auburn. So there's so much surrounding Auburn right now. The win streak, Bruce Pearl of Louisville. The fact that they've got a guy in Jabari Smith who I watch. I mean, this is a team that, you know, think about the NBA, and you're very familiar with it. playing two guys above 6'10 is not something that normally happens unless you have a Kevin Durant type guy. Auburn gets away with it because they've got Walker Kessler, they've got Jabari Smith, and he's a guy who plays the perimeter. I mean, this is crazy to think. 10 years ago, we have 10 years. The fact that an Auburn team could play a Walker Kessler, most blocks in the country, beside a Jabari Smith, 6'10 combo forward guard who is a potential, most likely number one pick with a bunch of talented guys around them. This is a pipe dream for Auburn basketball fans.
It is. And Auburn, in my opinion, at least for the past few weeks, is that they're the best team in the country. You know, they played a close one at Mizzou the other night. I understand those games are going to happen, but good teams find ways to pull out those wins, and Auburn did it. Jabari Smith had one of his poor games of the season, was 2-for-15 shooting, had just 5 points. But, man, Walker Kessler just dominates the glass, blocks shots left and right. Katie Johnson's been a nice scoring threat for them. They can do it in so many different ways, Josh. Like they can kill you on the glass. They can kill you defensively. They can go at you and go on a 7-0 run, and suddenly you're scratching your head going, what just happened? So now Bruce Pearl has done a fantastic job with his team. Again, I look at this and say, you know, that place is going to be rocking this weekend, and as it has been. They camped out for the Kentucky game a few weeks ago. That's unheard of. Like, right. Typically at a school like Auburn, you're camping out for football games, not for basketball games. But, yeah, I think this is – they're clearly the number one team in the country. I think they're going to show out this weekend. And, man, you know, it's hard not to pencil Auburn in as a Final Four team right now.
Yeah, they look great. And Katie Johnson was a guy – you know, we talked about Kessler and we talked about Smith. I mean – Katie Johnson was a guy with two ridiculously tough baskets who got the job done for them against that Missouri team. And, you know, that's one of those where you're right. Those games will happen. They were tougher, though, down the stretch. They made the plays they had to made down the stretch. And that's what I wanted to see from a Bruce Pearl team in the end of the game. UVA, to me, was a little bit tougher than them in the Final Four. This is a team with talent. But with a guy like Katie Johnson and a guy who's willing to try to block every shot you throw up. And I think it's the misnomer is that Walker Kessler is some soft, you know, big, tall, doughy white guy. Like, that guy wants to get after it, man. He wants to get after it. That's the difference. Now, I will say, Oklahoma's got a bit of confidence. They just won at West Virginia last night. So, I'm taking that in there. And Porter Moser, we've known, he's pulled off a bunch of upsets before. But to me, this is Auburn's game.
Yeah, it is. And again, I think Oklahoma's good. I just don't see that, you know, the stud talent that they've had, at least in recent years. So another thing to watch for Auburn, too, is Alan Flanagan's still kind of getting going. He's not really gone off yet. Man, if that guy gets himself right and starts to gel a little bit more with all the guys around him, it's just going to make Auburn that much more of a complete team.
All right, next game we've got. You think this one might be a doozy. I'm concerned about West Virginia. They lost 4 straight games. Arkansas seems to be pulling it together. 1 o'clock Central Time, ESPN2. JD Notae has come back. It feels like Arkansas is a bit of a different team with him in the lineup.
They are. They absolutely are. And I don't know why. I just think this is going to be one of the better teams in the weekend. I think these teams are pretty comparable. And, yeah, I know Arkansas is winning right now, and West Virginia is on a bit of a skid. But Arkansas is a team that had really high hopes for this year. I mean, they lost 3 straight to start SEC play. Now they've won 5 in a row, but JD Notae has been playing really well as of late. I mean, 25 points the other night in the win over Ole Miss. As a team, they shot 44% from 3 in that game. They're really starting to come around, play more consistently. Eric Musselman was out for a little bit, had a little surgery on his shoulder, but he's back. And, man, they're a dangerous team. And so, yeah, if I had to pick a winner in this one, I'm going Arkansas, but would not be surprised if West Virginia keeps this thing close down the stretch.
Yeah, they've lost 4 straight. West Virginia has, excuse me. They need a victory pretty badly. Good place to get it. I think you're right. That could play into the desperation and the desire, but this is not the same WU team. They lost Derek Culver last year. Obviously, Oscar Sheba, he transferred out last year. We see what he's doing at Kentucky right now. Miles McBride, who's been actually a relatively good player for the Knicks so far in the NBA. That's a guy who gets you a bucket whenever you need it to. They just don't have those guys in the way they've had in the past sometimes. So I'm going to go with you. I'm going to go with Arkansas in this game. And then next game we have, last one, wrap this one up real quick. My Missouri Tigers going to Iowa State. Iowa State gets a great win last night on the road. in overtime against Oklahoma State, who's been playing pretty well. This might be the end, Chris, for Konzo Martin in Columbia.
Yeah, Missouri is a mess this year. I mean, I like Kobe Brown as a player, solid scorer, but even his numbers have dipped as of late since they got into SEC play. And Missouri at 8-11, I mean, I just don't see how, if they finish sub-500 at the end of the year, I just don't know how Konzo keeps his job. So, yeah, it stinks. I mean, again, he's been a guy who's won at multiple places, and you know, Missouri, man, the transfer portal, we know what a toll it's taken on teams in football. It took a big toll on Missouri this offseason. All their good players left and went to good teams. So, yeah, this is a mismatch as it comes, and I would be really surprised if Mizzou, you know, even hung around in this one. I think Iowa State blows them out.
Yeah, Xavier Pinson and Mark Smith have had good seasons at Kansas State for Mark Smith, and then X-Man is obviously one of the things at LSU, as we mentioned. So, yeah, I think this is Iowa State blowout. All right, 3 o'clock games right here. Baylor at Alabama. This one is compelling for so many reasons because this game at 3 o'clock, I mean, you schedule Kentucky and Kansas later in the day because you know the historic significance. This one was like kind of the low key, but here's the game of the day for you. Here is the matchup. Alabama and Nate Oates' system and guard play going up against Baylor, and if you compare the teams leaving last year, right, no Butler, no Teague, no Mitchell for Baylor, and you think about what Alabama's bringing back, it's like those guys probably have the advantage of the perimeter. Not so much as looking at this matchup. For Baylor, it's been Akinjo and Cryer and Flagler. Things have not been as good on the other side. You know, we think about guys like Shackelford for Alabama. This game is a huge one, though, because Bama is, I don't think they're on the bubble, but they're trending towards it. They have not been as successful as we thought. Huge opportunity, a big win at home.
Yeah, the only thing that makes me pump the brakes on this one is, you know, from saying that this is going to be one of the best games of the day, what Alabama team is going to show up? I mean, right. You know, this would have been an interesting one. You know, a few weeks ago, we thought Alabama was a top five team, and then you know, you got Nate Oates, you got some big-time recruits, but they've just struggled with consistency. They lose a game the other night. They have no business losing at Georgia. You know, had a big win against LSU before that. But Jaden Shackelford, he's scored in the 20s in each of his last three games. He has been playing much better as of late. Keon Ellis is a nice scoring threat. They can knock down threes. Javon Quinterly, solid guy off the bench. I'll just say this. It's a dangerous game for Baylor, because I think Coleman Coliseum is going to show out. They are going to be loud. The fans are going to be in, you know, screaming and all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, I just think Baylor's too good, and I think this is a game that Baylor wins.
I think so, too. Seven straight games with the opposing team, seven or six, I believe, where the opposing team has scored less than 70 points. Their defense is beginning to become that boa constrictor that it was last year. I think the Baylor Bears are going to win on the road. 3 o'clock, ESPN2. This one's really interesting. Florida started off well last night against Tennessee. They got run in the second half of that game. This Florida is on the bubble. Mike White special. Mike White loves to live on that bubble. Then every single year, 7-10 seed seems like Florida, a dangerous 7-10, mind you.
Yep.
That's where they are. Now, I will say this. Oklahoma State, to their credit, for not being an NCAA tournament eligible team, has fought their tails off all year long. And also isn't Kate Cunningham, not to mention that. But I think this is a game where Colin Castleton could take over. Oklahoma State has lacked significant size in the post for the last couple of years. Castleton's a guy who can give you a lot of minutes. Oklahoma State only has size and spurts. That's where I think Florida can take advantage and win this basketball game. In the post, Caston with the size.
Yeah, I think, you know, record-wise, obviously two pretty comparable teams. Florida lost three straight to start SEC play. Then it looked like they were getting things together. Won three straight, and now they've dropped two in a row. Blowout loss at Ole Miss and a closer loss at Tennessee. But Colin Castleton, he was dealing with an injury for a little bit, missed a couple games. He's the straw that stirs the drink. Haven't heard yet if he's going to play this week, and or if not. But Tyree Appleby's a good scorer for them. He's been scoring in double digits a lot for them lately. But if they have no Castleton, they're going to get killed on the glass. And that's what happened to them the other night against Tennessee.
That's the thing about this Oklahoma State team is the effort is off the charts. I mean, they're going to attack the glass, they'll attack the rim, and that's where you need a Colin Castleton to help them out. This one's the worst game of the day. It could be a decent basketball game, but what's the temperature on Kermit Davis? Ole Miss is a football school. It's a football school. It's a football school. But what's temperature on a guy like Kermit Davis? The temperature, I'll tell you what, on Bruce Weber is pretty high. He is on the bubble right now with a team that is, they sucked last year, but they're on the bubble now. You think, oh, well, you know, Bruce deserves another chance. But K-State, I mean, when you're in the Sunflower State and Kansas is your rival, the stands are, you know, the stakes get raised a little bit. So they need this win pretty badly. What's the temperature right now at Ole Miss and with Kermit Davis?
I think he hasn't been there long enough for them to be screaming hot seat with him, but man, they had high expectations with him. And I think Kermit Davis is one of the best, or has been one of the better coaches in college basketball, at least the last decade. But Ole Miss dealt with injuries. I mean, their best player, Jarkel Joyner, has only played 13 games this year. Deshaun Ruffin, they've got back now, but he's only played in 12 games. If they could start to get healthy, they could be a team that starts to make some noise in the SEC, but you're right. I mean, this is a battle of two bad teams, and you know, I remember previewing these games with you a year ago, Josh, and we looked at it and we said, you know, there was a matchup where we're like, all right, these are two bad teams, and then we saw it play out on the court, and it's two bad teams. You know, it's a game that's like 21-23 at half, and you're like, oh, God, this is just awful. Like, I could see that happening with Kansas State at Ole Miss, but yeah, man, if I had to pick a side, maybe I say Ole Miss just because they're at home, but they've been so inconsistent. Again, the injuries are a big part of it. Wouldn't be surprised if Kansas State won.
Yeah, and to go back to the last game, I just did some digging. Caston expected to miss some time. We're not sure if it'll be this game or not. But if he plays, thumbs up for the Gators. If he doesn't, even matchup, would you say?
Yeah, I mean, I guess. But, like, this is a Florida team that lost to Texas Southern earlier in the year. Like, good God. Like, get it figured out, Mike White. What are you?
Right. What are you? What is your team at this point? All right. So we have to move on to the big windows, to the games that that all of, you know, the big matchups of the day. Let's get one out of the way first. That's not a big one. Don't want to discredit this game. 5 p.m. Central Time on ESPN2, Mississippi State at Texas Tech. A rematch of a bowl game, ironically enough. Yeah. This is the Mike Leach special right here. I'll tell you what, Chris, Texas Tech is damn good.
They are.
They pushed Kansas to the brink the other night. It wasn't for Oshai Abagin and his stupendous shot making. Texas Tech would have swept Kansas this season. And I think it's a damn good Kansas team. This is Mississippi State's good. They really challenged Kentucky, if I'm correct,
yep,
the other night. It's a tough environment. This, people don't understand this. Lubbock, Texas is one of the best 5 to 10 basketball environments in the country. United Supermarkets Arena is a horror show to go into and try to win. Texas Tech wins this one, but it does not mean Mississippi State is a bad basketball team.
Yeah, Texas Tech has got it all figured out. They're good at baseball. They're good at basketball. They got to figure out the football thing. But, yeah, I wonder if Chris Beard looks back and says, man, maybe I should have hung around a little bit longer. I know the big payday at Texas, and I know all that. You know, and he's doing okay at Texas so far. But, man, he's looking back going, they're basically at Lubbock going, we don't miss you, dude. Thanks for what you did here, but we don't miss you. State has been kind of a surprise team in the SEC this year. Iverson Molinar is a big reason why. He's averaging over 18 points a game. But, yeah, I've watched Texas Tech a handful of times this year. They are so good. I think I'm with you. I think they'll be too much for Mississippi State, and that environment's going to be rocking.
Two key matchups coming up. First, quick word from our sponsors. Today's show is brought to you by betonline.ag. Go to betonline.ag today. Football, basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, UFC, boxing, Vegas casino games, everything you could want, they have there at betonline.ag. New, sleek, clean interface there as well. Go to betonline.ag today. It's free to sign up. Use the promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, locked on. You'll receive a 50% deposit bonus right now. So if you deposit $100, you have an extra 50 in site credit to play with today. BetOnline, it is where the game starts. All right, so two excellent matchups. The first one we talk about it here is 5 o'clock Central Time on ESPN. These teams have been doing this basically. I mean, they switch the matchups everywhere else. Well, the one thing they give us, Chris, every single year, it's Kentucky, it's Kansas. It's always awesome every single time to see the blue, you know, the term blue blood gets used in college basketball. Blue is the color for both of these teams. And I got to go to Allen Fieldhouse the first time. I heard an interview this week with Oshai Abaji, and he said, our environment was pretty good against Missouri this year. Did not mention Texas Tech on Monday night. He goes, this one's probably going to be a bit better. I'm sure the Cats fans will travel as many of them as possible. This is as good as it gets. I mean, because here's the thing. The Kentucky teams, they never peak early. This is when you want to see them.
Yeah.
What do we have in late January? Because that's usually the best indicator for what can happen in February and then into March.
Yeah, this is a really good Kentucky team, and we're starting to see it now. They're starting to gel a little bit more. I saw them in person a week ago. I went to the game at Texas A&M in College Station. Look, that was a hostile environment at the time. A&M was undefeated in SEC play. Reed Arena showed out, and Kentucky was unfazed, man. They were down, I want to say, by 8 points at one point, double digits, and you know they were able to chip away and took the lead late and didn't let it go. And Oscar Tshiebwe, I think, is turning into a star in college basketball, a monster rebounder, but his scoring's been going up too lately. He's averaging over 16 points a game. The 22 rebounds the other night, the win over Mississippi State. So, he's definitely the running for player of the year, but it's all the other pieces. They got Sevier Wheeler back in the lineup. He's the one that gets that offense going. Keon Brooks can score. Kellen Grady can knock down shots. Davion Mintz, a really good defender. Ty Washington's the one to watch because I know he got banged up the other night. We'll see what his status is. But, man, they are just a really good team, and I think they're going to give Kansas everything they can handle.
Yeah, if Ty doesn't play, I think this one it's a problem because, you know, look, Kentucky's been playing well, but to me, I said this at the beginning of the season, if this Kansas team gets to figure it out, they're the best team in the country, period. Because they bring in Remy Martin, who is a guy who's All-American last year, preseason, and really hasn't actually figured out. They sat him against Texas Tech in the latter parts of that game. Oshai Abaji right now is a player of the year. Christian Brown is a really good player for them on the perimeter. David McCormick in the post can be one of the best players in the country, and I think he's an equal match for Oscar Tshiebwe. I will say this. Not everybody can play for Bob Huggins, so I actually don't excuse him transferring from West Virginia. That's a tough place to play. You have to want to run and run and run and that wasn't the right fit for him. I understand. It's great to see him flourish at Kentucky in this way. So I'm glad for him, but I think McCormick can be his match. And here's the crazy part about Kansas is that they bring two guys off the bench. Joseph Yesufu from Drake. If you heard the name, 30-point scorer in the NCAA tournament game last year. And he was on a just absolutely ripping tear towards the back end of the season. Jalen Coleman-Lands was a leading scorer last year at Iowa State's 15 a game in the Big 12, transfers to Kansas. Adams also two for them. KJ Adams, great defender who's a freshman off the bench, or they'll play big minutes in the end. If Kansas gets this figured out because of how good Oshai Agbaji has been, he is the best player in the country. If it's all clicking for them, it's over. And they're not even at a defensive level they're comfortable with yet. So if there's no Ty Washington, to me, Chris, I think this game, you know, I feel bad for saying this, but like, I think it's pretty much a wrap. I think Kansas can win. And saying that, you know, Texas Tech just gave them a great game at home, but Kansas is pretty damn good this year.
Yeah, I'll say this. Kentucky, at least, through a couple of games recently, they've had really good starts. You know, that was, it's been a couple games where they come out of the gates and they're able to get an early lead and you go, okay, this is good. It's the games where they fall behind, man, and they got to chip away and they got to come back. Those are the games that, you know, really.
No chipping away in Allen Fieldhouse.
Yeah.
It's tough. You got to be a different kind of team to do it.
Yeah, if Kansas grabs an early lead and is up, say, 7 or 8 points, I mean, Kentucky could go into panic mode. So, yeah, I mean, look, I'm picking Kansas to win it just because they're at home, but I wouldn't be surprised if this one came down to the wire.
So this last one to me is the most compelling. Oh, there it is. Showing up. There it is. All right. So 7 o'clock Central Time on ESPN. Tennessee is Texas. This is going to be, it should be a celebration of what Rick Barnes did at Texas, man. I mean, and you've seen it at Tennessee now too. He has been an excellent coach wherever he has gone. Maybe the time was right. Maybe it wasn't when they got rid of Rick Barnes, but this should be a celebration. And to what we can tell, Chris Beard has been all about the past at Texas, right? He wants to celebrate the past. I think there's gonna be no mistaking. There will be a celebration of Tennessee, not Tennessee, but what Rick Barnes accomplished at Texas and him as a coach. And I'm really excited to see him go back to a place where he won a whole lot of basketball games and where a future Hall of Famer staked his claim for that, you know, made that claim, really. It's going to be awesome to see.
Yeah, it will be. And I'm sure they'll have the tribute video there and all that. But talking to my buddy who's a big UT fan, I mean, he still looks at Rick Barnes as the underachiever, as, man, we had all these great teams and, you know, we came close, but man, we should have had deeper runs. You know, when you talk about DJ Augustine and Kevin Durant and all these great players, LaMarcus Aldridge, all these great players, and man, to not, you know, get to the championship, win it, let's bring a title home. Again, that's a Texas fan maybe holding him to a different standard. I'm with you. I think that you celebrate the success of him, but man, that said, these are two really good basketball teams. Like, we're going to see a really good game. Tennessee starting to put things together as of late. Three straight wins, including a big win over LSU last week. Santiago Vescovi, or Vescovi, however he's pronouncing it now.
Did he change? He changed the pronunciation.
Vescovi now. So whatever you want to say. But Vescovi is balling out as of late. 23 points in the win over Florida. Kennedy Chandler, one of those super talented freshmen that they brought in. He's had his ups. He's had his downs. He had 17 the other night. He gets a lot of assists, so we'll see which Kennedy Chandler shows up in this one. But, no, two really, really good basketball teams. And yeah, I mean, just outside of the honoring Rick Barnes and all that kind of stuff, I think once this game gets going, could get a little bit chippy, and maybe we have maybe we see some attitude from both teams.
Well, I mean, you know this. I mean, the Rick Barnes teams like to fight it out. And Chris Beard wants to have the toughest team on the floor. This should be a fight in a phone booth. This should be two guys, you know, two boxers putting up their hands, just slinging it. And I know people booed the Tennessee-Texas Tech game, but friends, that might be part two. This might be part two, and both teams might embrace the fact that it's going to be, despite the fact there's a lot of talent on the floor on both sides. But to me, Chris, this is the perfect nightcap. I prefer this to having Kansas, Kentucky as your nightcap. I like the sentimental value. I like the two coaches, but kind of the same style of being like, all right, let's see who's tougher. You know, thank you. I appreciate you giving me appreciation. Chris versus Rick, let's see who's tougher. I kind of like that.
And I think at the end of the day, Josh, what we'll be talking about is the SEC Big 12 Challenge. I think both leagues go 5-5. I think it's a draw on Saturday.
I think there's a very good chance that we see both teams, kind of put this thing at 500. All right, Chris, really enjoyed it. Where can people find you and your work and all of its variety?
Yeah, at Chris Gordy on Twitter, at Locked On SEC, and of course, LockedOnSEC.com for all the latest in the SEC. And for those Oklahoma, Texas fans out there, come subscribe early because you guys are coming over to the party very soon.
Hey, it might be 2024, 2025. Slow your roll. For those of you who want to find me on Twitter, it's at @JoshNeighbors_. You can find the show on Twitter at @LOBig12. You can find Locked On Big 12 where you guys get your podcasts, and also on YouTube as well. You can find both of us on YouTube. Can't wait. Jackson Dart, Ole Miss bound. Is that what we're hearing?
That's what it's sounding like. I mean, I think it makes the most sense. And then you get his tight end and Trigg in as well. Man, Lane Kiffin, he doesn't rebuild. He just reloads with tons of guys from the transfer portal.
Chris, it's always a pleasure, man.
Absolutely, Josh. Anytime, man. Hey, before we get out of here today, I wanted to let you guys in on a little bit. We got the big NFL playoff games happening this Sunday, AFC Championship, NFC Championship, and one of the biggest stars from the SEC, Joe Burrow, the Heisman Trophy winner from LSU just 2 years ago, going to his first AFC Championship game with the Cincinnati Bengals. So nobody better to get a set for what to watch for in this game than our friends over at Locked On Bengals.
Will the Bengals take down the Chiefs on Sunday in Kansas City in advance to the Super Bowl? Hi again, everyone. I'm James Rapine of the Locked On Bengals podcast, and that is the question going into this epic AFC Championship game between two teams that played each other this month. They played each other on January 2nd at Paul Brown Stadium. The Bengals came out victorious 34-31, overcoming three different 14-point deficits. I expect Sunday to be a different story. The Bengals can't fall behind against this Chiefs team by two scores and expect a rally on the road. But the number one key, protect Joe Burrow. Burrow was sacked 9 times last week against the Titans. He was hit 13 times. And yeah, the offense had 19 points. Well, 19 points isn't going to cut it against Patrick Mahomes. The magic number, 40. If they can somehow get to 40, you feel good about their chances. How do they do that? They keep Joe Burrow upright. If they do that, he can distribute the ball to all of his weapons, including Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, and Tyler Boyd. And the Bengals just might sneak in to the Super Bowl. For more, make sure you check out the free and the only daily Bengals podcast, Locked On Bengals, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Appreciate those guys over at Locked On Bengals. Let's see how many SEC guys we end up with in the Super Bowl again this year. That is going to do it for this edition of Locked On SEC. You guys have a great weekend. Enjoy the great basketball happening all day Saturday between the SEC and the Big 12. And we'll talk to you guys on Monday. We'll recap that and get you caught up to date on all the latest news around with the transfer portal and guys declaring for the draft and everything else you need to know across the SEC. I am Chris Gordy. Thank you so much for making us your first listen every day. Now go make your second listen. Check out the Locked On Bets podcast with your boy Q and Lee Sterling, getting you all the picks you need. Talk to you guys on Monday right here on Locked On SEC.